Welcome to the Cabazon Water District Finance and Audit Committee meeting on July 16th at 5 o'clock p.m. 2024. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Board Vice Chair Terry Tincher.
Here.
Board Chair Sarah Wargo.
Here.
General Manager Michael Pollitt.
Here.
Okay, so under the financials tab, first we have the balance sheet. And on line 5, it shows the total cash and investments as of June 30th, 2024. So that was the end of the fiscal year. It was at the total balance was at $2,018,306. We finally reached $2
million. Yay!
And then down on line 20, we have due to other government San Gregorio Pass Water Agency, we still owe the Pass Agency $95,000. That's because we're waiting on the retention money for the isolation valve project. We did hear back from them. They said it looks good, so they're going to move forward with the formal amendment process. So we're going to need to wait for that to get approved, and then we should get our money, which I think was 107,000.
San Gregorio Pass finally waiting?
They haven't said anything yet, so we wanted to wait till we heard like hard confirmation back before we brought it up to them, but so far they haven't asked for it yet. So.
Yeah.
But now that we kind of got word back that it's looking good, we'll keep them up to date. We'll update them.
Yeah, I think the only thing, the reason the policy is we have to reimburse them 90 days after a certain period of time after we receive the money.
So, we haven't received the money.
And then down on line 31, it's the total liabilities. That's $563,202. And any questions on this page?
No.
Okay. Moving on to the actual budget, profit and loss. And again, this is as of June 30th, 2024, so that's the end of the fiscal year. So everything should be at 100%, but there might be some changes. Like the numbers are not final. There's still some bills that are coming in, so this isn't going to be the exact ending year numbers, but it's pretty close. So at first, we have the revenues. On line 4, we have the commodity sales, which ended at 87%. We budgeted pretty high. I guess when they did the budget for this year, they accounted for a 5% increase of usage and the rate increase. We didn't do that this year because we're not expecting people to use more water than they did the previous year.
Next year's budget, have you taken the 87% into account? Is that going to be lower for next year?
Well, they were going to do the same thing this year. They were going to increase it by 3% with another 5%. Right. I said, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. So, and, of course, we had a large amount of rain from December to April where there was hardly any usage. The school district here shut their sprinklers off completely, and that's really $10,000 a month. So, that's a hit.
And then on line 5, we have the fire sales, which is at 68%. So this is a flat fixed monthly charge for all fire service connections. Year-to-date ended under budget due to fewer connections than anticipated. On line 7, we have basic facility fees, which ended at 686%. We ended up getting a lot more service connections than we budgeted for. I don't have the exact number right here, but we only budgeted for 1/5 inch meter. We got a lot more than that, $63,000. On line 11, we have the property taxes, which ended at 117%. We just ended up getting more tax payments than we were expecting. On line 15, interest income for investment accounts, that's for the California Class account and the LAIF account, it ended at 234% since we opened up the California Class account in August, which has a higher percentage rate. And then on line 16, we have the interest income for water bills. That ended at only 86%, which is actually a good thing because that means customers are paying their bill more on time than they did the previous years. And then on line 18, the total revenues is at 100%. I think it's like $5,000 over what we budgeted for, but it ended up being around 100%. So pretty spot on. Moving on to expenses, on line 26, we have the total payroll, which ended at 98%, so pretty close. On line 29, we have lab fees, which ended at 150%, and that's because of the some samples that we had to catch up on that weren't done in previous years. They didn't notice that until this year, so we had to catch up on all that. On line 32, we have the line R&M materials, which is only at 20%. We had, I guess, less inventory materials that we purchased this year, but also the materials that we did purchase were for specific projects, so they're under different accounts, different expense accounts in here. On line 35, we have engineering services, which is at 32%. Most of the engineering services that we used were for grant projects, so they're under capital, but the $12,000 was for the projects that we had just in-house that were not reimbursable through grants. And then line 37, which is total facilities, wells, T&D, that whole section right there ended at only 71%. And moving on down to the bottom at line 49, total office expenses, which is that whole little section right there, ended at 91%. The office expenses are usually kind of hard to predict, so we didn't have an exact number on what we were expecting. Any questions on that first page?
No.
Okay. On to the next one, support services. On line 53, we have the legal services, which is the only one in this little section right here that ended way under. We like to keep a budget for legal services just in case we need them, but we really didn't use them that much for anything, so we ended at only 28%. And then down on line 57, total support services, which is that whole top section, ended at only 89%. Moving on to line 62, vehicle fuel, which ended at 133%. We accidentally budgeted pretty low, not expecting higher fuel costs. And then also we've been using the backhoe a lot more for the well 2 site, so there was more fuel costs than we budgeted for. On line 67, we have the service trucks repair and maintenance, which ended at only 54%. We didn't have to service the trucks as much as we expected, except for this month in July, we did have to bring two of the trucks in. So next month, there's going to be a little activity.
And one of our talented employees has mechanical skills, so he does a lot of the minor repairs.
Mm-hmm. Line 69, we have the total service tools and equipment, which is that whole little section right there. That ended at 66%, so pretty well under budget. Oh, and actually I wanted to point out also line 66, equipment rental. It says that we didn't have any expenses in there, but we did have another bill that's going to be charged to that section. I think it was for $900 for a mini excavator for the well 2 site. So it still ended pretty far under budget for that category. And then for non-operating expenses, all of these ended over budget. So for the loan interest and processing fee, that was it's over budget because of the RCAC loan for well 4. We didn't have that loan in the beginning of the year, so we didn't budget for it, but that's why that one's over. For 72, bad debt expense, the $12,000 is how much customers with new services still owe us, because sometimes customers will sign up for a new service, they'll go on a payment plan. As of the end of the year, we still need to receive $12,000 from those customers. They're not past due or anything, it's just how it has to show up on this account or the spreadsheet. But they have a whole year to pay off that $12,000. Line 73, miscellaneous. This is just for random expenses. So these are for the donations that we made to the community center for the Harvest Festival and Christmas gifts. 74, the damaged truck and stolen tools. That was when somebody broke into the back parking lot, stole one of the trucks and a bunch of tools, so we obviously didn't budget for that. And then line 75, we have the grant application share of cost. That was for the Esperanza Waterline project. To submit the application for the grant, a bunch of agencies got together and had a consultant do a lot of the paperwork for that, and that was our portion that we paid for that application process. And then on line 76, the SGMA GSA, that's for the groundwater sustainability plan that we approved back in 2022, but every year there's data that we have to submit, and that was for our portion of the consultant's cost for submitting the data. On line 77, so the total non-operating expenses ended at 396%, just because a lot of those costs were unanticipated. And then line 78, total expenses ended at 91%, so just a little bit under. And lastly, on line 83, we have the net income slash loss. We ended at $676,000 over, so with an income.
So on the damaged truck, we didn't get the insurance for that?
We did, actually.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Basically, they stole the truck. We sold it. We sold the, when we got it back, we sold it for junk. The vehicle that was broken into was the new service truck. They cracked open the toolbox that sold all the tools. So the repair on the toolboxes was like $12,000. So the insurance, we filed a lot for the tools, the toolbox repair, and the gas tank. The gas tank was $2,800.
So
this expense actually, on the first page, on line 13, insurance reimbursement, that's for that, the damaged truck.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. They had to show it as an expense and an income for some reason.
Yeah,
so they asked if we could just subtract it and put it in the one.
What about the shared, the grant application share cost? Does that come back in a grant?
No, well, that doesn't.
There's always a grant application fee. Sometimes it's 1%, like when we did the cluster valves and the tanks and everything like that.
Okay.
There's always a processing fee that we have to pay.
Well, I didn't know if you could put it into the into the grant money to get it back.
Yeah. I mean, the legal documents and then the engineering costs, those get reimbursed.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. Any questions or any other questions? Okay, last page, capital project. Let's see, a lot of these didn't have a lot of activity. Meter replacements, I think we got pretty much all of the meters replaced, right, Mike?
Yeah, there's only like 25 left to install, and that's down in the Jensen area. So we're going to wait, and when the contractor is done with Esperanza, we're going to go in there. Just a lot of them are open heart surgery. We basically have to, the valves don't operate anymore, so we have to cut a new piece in, maybe shut a portion of the main down and install those the meters.
So it's going to be a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Line 6, we have the main replacements, fire hydrants, air vac. For that, we didn't use at all because we used that money for line 10, well number 1, emergency repair. Line 7, Bonita Vault, that is finally moving forward. I think they have an expected date, right, Mike?
August 6th is the expected delivery date.
Yeah.
Well, at least you got a date finally.
Yeah.
So the only expenses we have left for that is the crane, the rest of the vault, and I don't think the materials are shown in here yet, so those will show up on next month. The new truck and utility billing, those are both just to set money aside for those projects. The utility billing, though, we're expecting to move forward with in the beginning of next year, so January or February or so. And then the new truck, yeah, was just to set money for when we do need a new truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the grant slash debt funded projects, the isolation valve project is complete. We're just finishing up some paperwork to get the retention money back for that, which is around $107,000. For the groundwater well improvements, that's for the test well. Not a whole lot of action on that one. On line 21, we have the Broadway and Main Street gate valve. That one was completed. And then on line 22, we have the tank 2, 3, and 4 recoding. That one is also complete, and we just received the final reimbursement for that of $88,000. And that's money that we don't need to pay back to the past agency because we didn't borrow for them for this grant.
Yeah.
Money in our bank account. And then line 25, we have the well 4 repairs. That is all done. So that's the RCAC loan. So we'll have to pay that back over the course of 10 years. And that's it. Any questions?
No. So on the Bonita Vault, we basically scheduled that to be completed in 2023, but the initial contractor that we chose to build the vault, they wouldn't contact us. And we couldn't get any progress, so we had to switch out the delays. So that's why it's going into the following year. So a lot of the items have already been paid for. The survey team, $2,200. The piping and material is $20,500. We paid a half portion of the vault, which is basically $13,000. So the only, like she said, the only thing that's left is to hire the excavator and the crane and to get a shoring box to install it. So those costs are projected to be $56,520, which is less than the $70,000 that I budgeted for.
Good.
Yeah.
So it's going to come in under.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're worried it's going to come in over.
Yeah. So everything's coming together. I received a couple of quotes for the crane operators. One was $7,018. The other one was $8,400, and I also received one for $5,075. Unfortunately, he put on there the crane lifting time is only 1 hour, so there would be additional charges after that. And the gentleman who quoted me $7,000, he actually came to the job site to get a better understanding what he was going to do, and he quoted me 4 hours, but he said it should be less time. Because he met and he gave me accurate quote, we're going to go with him, even though it's more than the original, the 5,000 quote. Because I believe he's going to increase it. It's going to be more than 1 hour.
Yeah.
So we do have a field meet scheduled with Edison, because Edison lines are within the construction area. Mm-hmm. So they're either going to come out and put insulation barriers or de-energize that line. But we should still be 15 feet from the line. So the crane operator, he's well aware, and he understands, you know, the humidity, wind, and everything like that. But he feels whatever course action we're going to take is going to be safe. Yeah, so we're going to be in good shape.
Good.
That was my only concern, is the power lines.
It looks like right under, you said 15 feet.
Well, yeah, because there's a couple of tiers. You have the top tier and the bottom tier, and the bottom tier has one stick out a little bit farther, so from there you have to stay basically 20 feet is safe. Depending on the power of the line, that's the distance you need to keep.
Any other questions for finance about it, or can I close the meeting? Okay, with that, we'll adjourn at 5:18 for finance and audit committee meeting.